Bucks Pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way. No.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show. Hour number three underway. Hope everyone's doing well on this Tuesday morning. Still to come on the program today, we'll hear from Pete Ream, a columnist, also a host on this station. Talk to him about what he thinks has happened in the election. So looking forward to that. You'll want to stay tuned. By the way, 251-343-0106. If you want to weigh in on anything you're hearing today or anywhere else on the program, joining us now, I'm very pleased to get our Attorney General, Steve Marshall, on to talk about what his role and Alabama's role could be in a lot of the election controversies you're hearing about right now. General Marshall, welcome to the program.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate you having me today.
Hey, thank you for making time for us today. Let's hop right into it here. Amicus brief filed, joined by the state of Alabama, a handful of other states, started in Missouri, it looks like. Tell us exactly what this does, what it is, and walk us through it.
Yeah, you know, our involvement right now is specifically with the state of Pennsylvania. I think many people have become aware of the media reports where a activist court has set aside specific provisions relating to mail-in ballots in Pennsylvania, and specifically saying that no longer would a valid postmark be required, no legible postmark had to be shown for the ballot to be counted. And in fact, the court created a presumption that once the ballot was received, it was received on time. And that is a clear violation of the separation of powers. It affects the integrity of an election that truly elects a president and a vice president that represent everybody in this country. So Alabamians, we have a very vested interest in what's going on there, and believe that not only are the legal principles that we're involved with important for the country as a whole, but also it involves our ability to uphold the integrity of an election that clearly in Pennsylvania seems to be run amok.
Is the fear that does this maybe it devalues the vote of Alabamians, or that this is something that we would have to deal with in the future? Talk about what led you to getting involved here.
I think the answer to that is both. I mean, clearly devalues the efforts of not only Alabamians, but also other states across the country who held valid and appropriate elections in which the rules applied as established by the legislature, and it was followed out by election officials. And here, not only are we concerned specifically about this election, but it's also elections that are coming. And so one of the things that is important is for the Supreme Court to become engaged and to specifically lay down very specific parameters that we think are constitutionally sound, that limits what the courts can do to be able to change the rules of an election during the process in which it's occurring.
And you know, what is the hope here? What is the when you do something like this, do you feel like it has an impact on any of the proceedings?
Well, I think it clearly does. I mean, we've seen the number of ballots that were counted in Pennsylvania post-election day. And one of the things that Justice Alito at least has done is try to segregate those contested ballots based on the legal issues that have been raised so that eventually we can try to find a resolution to this issue. But again, this is more broad than just simply this election. This relates to kind of fundamentally how we conduct elections in this country. And so for us moving forward, it's very important for the court to weigh in whether Pennsylvania ends up being a state that ultimately matters, and whether or not President Trump or Joe Biden becomes our president. It is something that matters for many elections to come.
And look at these elections. There's clearly something wrong. Here it is. And I know we've had these controversies in the past that we've had to allow the legal process to work. But am I too far off to say that, you know, when we look at elections in the country, at least like Alabama did some things right, doesn't have these controversies. Legally, the possibility that there could be some overhaul and that could impact the state later on down the road and present some kind of legal challenges to the state. Is that a legitimate concern?
Well, I think it's a very legitimate concern. And specifically Pennsylvania's concern relates to the validity and integrity of using mail-in ballots and what rules are going to apply when you do so. know, here when you have a court that basically disregards the safeguards that the legislature's put in place, then there is no ability to ultimately show that, that we can have an election that we can trust. And so when the president pushes back and has significant concerns about whether or not, you know, we have the ability to determine an election in a timely way, this is one of those reasons why we all as Americans should be concerned about what's going on, because we have a fundamental right to make sure that our elections are sound and valid and that we have elected the person that the people's will has determined to be the appropriate candidate.
Yeah, well, I guess that's the fear, though, here. And I talked to Secretary Merrill about this. If the federal government looks at this and they, you know, one way they could do it, I guess, it would be to incentivize certain behavior regarding elections. But what if they do try something more, exert more federal power to enact a Congress? That's always something I think states really shun, is a top-heavy federal government coming and saying, this is the way you're going to do your elections now. That I don't know if that's a real possibility or not, just given the climate in Washington, but it seems like it's more likely now than maybe it had been in the past.
I don't think that that's a wrong assessment, Jeff, but I think one thing that is clear is that there was a delegation by the Constitution for state legislatures to be able to be engaged in the federal election process. But within that, is this assumption it's going to be done right, it's going to be done consistent with rules that are in place, and that those rules are going to be validly enforced. And what we've seen in Pennsylvania is that is not what has taken place. It causes us to question the validity of the election that's taken place there, and then it calls into question generally the results of this presidential election and who is appropriately going to be the next president of the United States.
Well, and I know we're kind of the quasi early going here, but are you leaving open the possibility that you may have to be active in other states as this unfolds?
I think we're going to continue to monitor what's going on in the elections in other states. You know, obviously, state officials right now are engaged in either recounts or finishing the election itself. What we do know is that we had the opportunity to see through the litigation that we were involved with previously in Pennsylvania to know that there were serious concerns. And so our involvement here was a natural reaction to what has already taken place. But we're going to make sure that we're diligent, because it's important for Alabama's voices to be heard across the country. Because, again, this is the only two offices that represent every person in this country. And Alabama has a vested interest in making sure that this country does an election right.
Joined by Alabama Attorney General Steve Marshall here on the program. Looking back at Alabama's election, it seems things went fairly smoothly. The statement I made, is that a fair statement? Did y'all have any problems, or have you been made aware of anything that you would have to deal with?
No, we've not been made aware of any significant concerns, and that's a testament not only to the structure that we have in place, but also the ability of local officials to be trained appropriately and to implement the procedures that we're placed on our books by our legislature. And so I think Alabama is an example for those around the country about how an election can occur, that we can get a timely result, and that we have faith and confidence in the result that was rendered on that day is truly, in fact, what the voters of Alabama wanted.
Yeah, well, the hiccup, I guess, was really what, you know, this brave new world of COVID-19, and how is that going to play out? And then Alabama had a system in place that seemed to has worked, but a lot of states, really, I think they were using either COVID-19 as the reason to do what they did, or it was actually really causing problems for other states.
Well, I think one of the things you saw, Jeff, is the use of COVID as an aggressive tactic by those on the left to really change the rules of the process. It took place in Pennsylvania, took place in other states across the country, and we were able to, you know, here in Alabama, through a Supreme Court that stood strong, to be able to push back on an activist federal judge in Birmingham who wanted to change the rules in our state. We weren't alone, and I think universally what we saw is a Supreme Court who, by and large, except for a couple of exceptions, understood the reasons why the rules of the legislature matter, that they can't be changed or processes impacted as a result of an activist federal judge, and that because of that, we can have greater faith in the results of the election on Election Day. And so COVID just simply became a reason to expand an agenda that was already started. And again, my hope is that our legislature and others across the country will truly evaluate what is in place now and to do things that we can change in the law to give Americans confidence that the election that takes place, in fact, reflects the true votes of those who follow the rules and voted lawfully.
Right, and then there's no reason sitting here today, a week removed, no one really was denied any access to the voting precinct or the ballot box or whatever. None of those fears really came to be that you had to deal with through the courts early on before the election.
And we are not aware of those, and at least it had not been brought to our attention. In fact, this election occurred very consistent with the facts that we were able to present in front of the federal judge when we were first challenged, and that is that we have the ability to create a safe and appropriate election in our state where individuals were not placed at health risk to be able to vote. And what we saw with the voter turnout in this state is that the people of Alabama responded, and they did so appropriately.
I want to move on to something I've just been made aware of here. Republican Association, or Republican Attorney General's Association, just gave you their chairmanship of their Rule of Law Defense Fund. Talk about that, what that is, what that means for our listeners here.
Yeah, the Rule of Law Defense Fund is really that policy idea arm of Republican Attorney General across the country. And I think you know that our office, and it's been an area of focus for me, is that we are consistently principled in what we do, and that we advocate positions across the country that we think are consistent with principles of federalism and our Constitution and what are appropriate for people in their daily lives. And so it's going to give us an opportunity to truly lead Republican Attorney General across the country in areas of religious liberty and Second Amendment, that we're going to talk about how to protect consumers appropriately, and that we're going to have the opportunity and what I think will be a very challenging year in 2021 to push back on many of the policies that will have come from the Biden administration and offer the American people alternatives on what we can be doing across the country.
That's certainly, you know, I guess from a policy standpoint, you really set the tone, I guess, for your association.
Absolutely set the tone, and really appreciate the confidence of my 26 colleagues across the country that have given me that leadership opportunity. This is, I think, critically important, especially at this juncture in our country's history, when we hear those on the left who want to defund the police or who want to embrace principles of socialism. There needs to be another voice, and I think Republicans' Attorney General are going to be uniquely situated during 2021 to be that voice that pushes back against what we're going to hear coming from potentially a Biden administration, and to really continue to advocate what we've seen come from President Trump, which is that limited government matters, that we need to support and embrace what is going on in our business communities across this country, and that we need to be able to stand up for what's written in our Constitution. And so we're excited about the opportunity that we're going to be given on this front. My colleagues, again, I think understand that this is a time to fight, and that is truly kind of what I've done for a majority of my career in public service, and that's to be able to stand up for issues of justice and for things that that matter. And we're going to have a chance to do that now over the next year.
Yeah, I guess it's something we don't think about, and maybe we saw a little bit of this during the Obama administration, but it's just, you know, Democratic politicians, they gain power through elections, but they really have the idea of government doing more and being more active in the process that, you know, you start meddling with federalism, what the state's rights or the state's role is in things. And does that seem like that that's what you've got to be on guard for in a position like that you just got elected to?
I mean, you've already heard a president already talk about a national mandate for masks. I mean, again, completely inconsistent with principles of federalism. And I think we're going to see more of that coming forward. This will be an administration that will attempt to govern by executive order, which is not the way our government was set up under the Constitution. And so there are going to be many opportunities for us to push back if, in fact, we have a Biden administration about what the Constitution means, the direction that this country is going, and, again, to offer some real policy alternatives to what we may hear coming from Washington. I know the people in Alabama are not going to embrace a Pelosi, Schumer, AOC rhetoric about what we ought to be doing in this country, and I think the people of America are going to have a chance to hear from me and my colleagues about things that are truly important and ways that we can be successful in creating opportunities for people to be safe and to create a business climate where people can thrive, and that ultimately this is the country our founders wanted.
General Marshall, we got to get to break here, but I want to thank you for your time, and thanks for the great segment.
Thank you, sir. Take care. We'll talk soon.
All right. That was Alabama Attorney General Steve Marshall on the program, getting us caught up on Alabama and its role in the whole election controversy. You see it unfold right now. We'll keep an eye on that as well. Got to take a break here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Somebody take me home.